On this week's episode of the Ritual Misery Podcast, Kent, he's done working.
Yeah, and apparently it's hot in Alaska. That doesn't sound right.
Well, it is when you're grinding all these realms.
Amazon had something to show me this week.
Doubt it. And I should probably hit the little soundbite button for the intro right now.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode 218 for Thursday, the 27th of June, 2019. This is a show where two lifelong friends and their guests celebrate all things geek. I'm Amos, that's Kent, this is my microphone, and that's Kent's, this is my microphone? Yeah, anyway.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
This one's for podcasting and this one's for, podcasting. I guess that really falls down the more you go with it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's not for singing or any of those other things. I don't know, yep. Man. But it definitely is for podcasting because yes. It is Thursday night. It is Ritual Misery time.
Yes.
My favorite time of the week.
Hey, I'm going to go ahead and apologize or congratulate the video viewers out there because my window is open, so this light is flooding in and you can barely see me on my video, which is either a really good thing or a really bad thing. And either way, you're twisted. Thank you for being a part of our show. we don't have any goddamn air conditioning in our house. It's 84 degrees outside, so the air that's coming into the house is actually not really cooling me off, but at least there's a bit of a breeze sometimes. And that's all the relief I can hope for the next, I don't know, it's been this way for a few days now, and it's going to be like this for a few more. We're getting weather warnings that the extreme heat is melting the glaciers too fast and might be eroding the walls of rivers. The banks of rivers, yeah. And
wow.
Just for perspective, it is 2 degrees warmer here right now than in Lexington, South Carolina. And just as humid.
Jeez, dude.
I hate South Carolina, and I'm having to deal with a week of it here. Like, fuck this.
It heard you talking shit, so it came to visit.
Yeah, well, it can go fuck itself.
Oh, man. That reminds me of European summers. When I lived in Germany, we didn't have air conditioning either. Like, no one had air conditioning. I think grocery stores had air conditioning. Maybe the movie theater.
Yeah.
Like there's no AC in Europe for the most part. And yeah, it got pretty damn hot sometimes in the summer.
Yeah. We have a portable one upstairs, like one that you plug in the wall and has a little vent to go out the window and blows the hot air out the window.
Right.
So you can kind of keep a small area cool, and it's on the middle floor because nobody's in the bedrooms right now. And the basement's kind of cooler except for my office because, well, I have to have the door closed for noise. And I've got like 500 electronics in here that are all just miniature heaters, just keeping it fucking balls hot in here.
Yep. That's the curse of a podcaster or just general technophile.
Yeah. And of course, not that we have AC, but even if we had it, I wouldn't be able to use it right now because of the noise. So there's no winning. There's no winning. But anyway, hey, what is this about you not working no more, dude? Like, I'm down. I'm good with it. What are you going to do afterwards? Do you need a job? I might have a position for you to fill.
Man, I wish it was permanent. Tomorrow's my last day of work. And until 2 weeks later, I'm taking some time off work.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Well, your birthday's next week, so
yeah.
That's Wednesday. Then Thursday is a federal holiday. Then Friday is like a liberal leave day because of all the other shit. So you basically really only taking 2 unscheduled days off.
Right, exactly. So I figured, okay, do I want to go to work for those 2 days, or do I want to spend 2 days of leave and get 9 straight days off?
Yeah.
Yes, please. That sounds wonderful.
All of that. Make all of that happen, yeah. Nope. And that was always the good thing about this is the only holiday we have in the summertime. You have Memorial Day, then you have Labor Day, and the only thing in between is 4th of July. And it's not even like dead square in the middle. It's kind of front loaded, you know, because then you got to go through almost all of July and all of August, which, by the way, when you want some time off is in the middle of August, no matter where you are in the world, because it's either freezing cold, like, you know, in the southern hemisphere, or it's just stupid hot. Global warming is awesome, so let's do that. Mm. Yeah, and August is like the slowest month, and then you start rushing into the holiday season. So,
yeah, that's true. Holiday season always, man. It's I don't like the holiday season. I like Halloween, but then everything after that is just like, don't get me wrong, I like Thanksgiving. I like Thanksgiving a lot, actually. And I like Christmas, and even New Year's is fun, right? But the just chaos that's brought along by the holidays, just, I don't know, man. You got me. We're only halfway through the year. It's not time for that crap yet.
We are halfway through the year, so it is time for us to start talking about a few things. One, summer vacation. Two, the Streamathon, which I've already started procuring some support for from some big names. This year hasn't been as easy as I would have liked to have been to do little mini events, but I'm still planning on doing the big thing at the end of the year. And, so that brings us to, if you have ideas for the Streamathon or want to get in on that, now is the time to start looking at what time slots you might want and what you might want to do. As far as summer vacation, there will be no show next week because of Independence Day. Mm-hmm. We don't celebrate 4th of July on the show. We celebrate Independence Day.
And my birthday.
And his birthday on Wednesday, so you'll be too hungover on Thursday to do the show anyway. And then
God, if I was hungover at 8 p.m., like, jeez.
Is that a challenge to yourself? Because
it might be.
I see that going poorly.
All right, challenge accepted.
Yeah. And then the following week, I may or may not be in D.C. for a week. So I may or may not be available to do a show depending on when my work things are going on Thursday, because the last one is Thursday. If I am on, it will be from Richard Gunther's house, because that's where I'll be staying if I go. And if not, then I'll be here at the house. So, Yeah, so that's kind of the update on what's going on for the next 2 weeks for Ritual Misery. It's been kind of a chaotic summer, and it's just going to continue for a little bit while longer.
And I heard from a little birdie that we're going to have another guest soon.
Yeah,
the return of Tay Allen.
Oh yes, I heard that. I wasn't sure if that was official or not, but birdies are weird like that.
Yeah, it's official, but it's not scheduled.
So it's a no or a yes.
Yeah, no. She's excited to be on. She cannot wait to come back on. It's really on us to get it scheduled, because it's gonna be kind of crazy over the next couple of weeks, like you said. So I don't want to schedule her for a time and then we end up not doing it like I did to our last guest.
Yeah. Although the good news with all this is if we're not doing a show next, well, we won't be doing a show next week. And then if we end up not doing a show after that, we will definitely be caught up with releases, because the whole production cycle has been a week or so behind, 2 weeks behind for a while because of earlier chaotic things going on in life. So,
right.
Yeah. And Scooz Mixtape says, we need more awkward on the show, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Man, have you ever heard of Amazon Echo Show?
Yes. Didn't they just release like a new one or announce a new one?
Yeah, it's the third version of the Echo Show. It's called the Amazon Echo Show 5.
Right? The Amazon Echo 3?
Five.
No, this is the third version. You just said it yourself. This should be the Amazon Echo 3.
Yeah, I know. That's why they called it 5.
Did Jeff Bezos take a tour of Microsoft or something? Like, is this like a Windows 9? Is actually Windows 10 kind of?
It's like there's no Windows 9. Right. There's no iOS. No, I'm iPhone 9.
Right.
There's no Amazon Echo Show 4.
Or 3.
Or 3.
I didn't even realize there's a 2, to be honest with you. So,
well, it's just
in my mind, they're going from 1 to 5, so they're just counting by 4s.
Yeah, actually, so they call it the 5 because it's a 5.5-inch screen.
Now, how big was the old one?
10.1 or something like that.
So it's like a mini. Why not just call it the Amazon Show Mini?
Right.
Fuck these names, dude. All this shit pisses me off. All of it pisses me off.
So I found out about the Echo Show 5 kind of by mistake. I got on the internet looking for a new alarm clock. The most challenging thing to occur in my entire day, doesn't matter the day. Most challenging thing that I do every day is
wake up.
Wake up. Yep. It well, is.
I'm going to clarify.
Okay.
Because I can tell you from personal experience, it is not difficult to wake you up. You are not a heavy sleeper that is difficult to wake up. In fact, sometimes you're a very light sleeper that is too easy to wake you up when unintended.
Really?
I will say, however, that you are a very difficult person to get functionally awake.
Okay. All right.
Because you can reptilian brain it all fucking day. You can be awake, hit the pisser, and climb back into bed, and you won't even know it happened.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like your id takes over, you piss, and you go back to sleep, and your super id and your ego were never there.
Yes. Like they're playing cards in Dreamland.
Yeah.
Or something like
that. I'm gonna clarify. It's not hard to wake you up. It's hard to get you functionally awake.
Right. Right. So I was like, you know what? I think I could use a new alarm clock. Let me see what's out there. Well, I got into Google and like nonstop on the search results was about this thing called Amazon Echo Show 5. Smart alarm clock, something, 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 like best in show this and like wonderful functionality, amazing for the price, like all these different
that things. Would be an amazing title of a product. The Amazon Show something, something, something.
Right. Yeah.
But you would
better than five.
You'd have to urbanize it though, right? So it'd be the Amazon Show something, something, something.
you'd wake
you up to porn every day.
So I clicked on reviews for it, and I was like, okay, that sounds...
Wait. I'm just going through my mind on this, okay? It asks you, hey, Amazon Show, set an alarm for 5 o'clock, and it comes back with, okay, I'll set an alarm for 5 o'clock a.m. How bad do you need to wake up? And you're like, it'd be nice, like, you know, for a jog or something. And it's like, okay, cool. And then at 5 o'clock, it wakes you up to like, you know, it comes on, there's a little sound, little chime, ching, 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 and a little picture of like a puppy dog or something, you know. And
all
then,
right.
Then the next day you're like, hey, wake me up at 6. And it's like, well, how bad do you need to get up? And you're like, man, this is like for a job interview. I have to be up at 6. It's like, all right, cool. And then it has a little, it comes on a little alarm, a little chime, ching, ching, ching. And then it's like, you know, the whole klaxon, right? And then you look at it, and it's a picture of, like, two big fat dudes fucking.
Oh, my God.
Like, because then you're like, your brain shocks. It's like, oh, what the hell? Oh, turn that off, you know? Oh, yeah.
That might work, actually.
There you go. We need it. We need that app. Somebody write that app for the Amazon Show.
It might have it because you've got all kinds of things that you can program this thing to do. It's pretty incredible. So it's a full up Amazon assistant device, right? Okay. It does all the things. It's a show, so it's got a screen, so you can see, you know, visuals, not just an alarm clock face, but you can see your calendar, you can see photos, you can watch movies on Amazon Prime on this thing.
I mean, if you want your brain to hurt.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying you would necessarily want to, but you can.
Yeah.
It's got so much functionality. It can be your hub for your like Nest Home stuff.
Right.
It attaches directly to your Ring doorbell so that
right.
You say, hey, Amazon assistant person, who's at the front door? And it'll show you like a live feed of your front door. You know, it's pretty cool. And it's only $80.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, wait, stop it. Like the next cheapest version of this thing is like $130 for like the old one.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to go ahead and get one. So I mentioned it to Steph like later that night, like after dinner or whatever. And she's like, She's like, oh, what? And she's like listening to me, and then she pulls up the article. She's like, oh my God. I was like, so I'm getting two then? He's like, yeah, let's get two. So yeah, so we got two of them. They arrived yesterday, and I've been playing with them. And I discovered that Amazon assistant person is a hell of a lot smarter than Siri.
Yes. Oh, is this your first bout with the Amazon Alexa service? Do you not have another device? You don't have a Dot or a...
No, I don't have any of those things.
Oh.
Welcome
to the world.
Where Siri will, you know, you could ask Siri almost anything. Like, what's 5 + 8? Siri's response will be, here's what I found on the web for you. It's like, are you fucking kidding? Can you be any less functional? So Amazon's assistant is quite a bit better at answering questions, and it's more fun to mess with it and ask it silly stuff, right?
It's like, hey, Alexa, what's 5 + 8? And she's like, it's 13, you idiot.
Yeah, like, basically, yeah. Yeah, but I've noticed, though, when you really want it to do something, like when you want your device to do something, like bring up the settings for whatever, it's like, I don't think I can do that. Or just like, you have to say the thing. Like if you're asking it general questions like, you know, hey, what's the weather like on the highest mountaintop of such and such country? Where it's like, oh, well, I can tell you all about that. You want to know more about it? But yeah. If you're just like, hey, do this basic function, it's like, oh, you didn't word it exactly 100% correctly. Mm-hmm. You didn't put the emphasis on the right syllable. So I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
Here's the one that gets me is I've got a Dot, not a Dot, the Echo, the first generation Echo upstairs, and I've got a Dot in my bedroom. Mm. The Dot in the bedroom is used mostly for turning on and off the smart light bulbs we have in the room. Because we're lazy fucking Americans, we don't want to get up to turn the lights off, so we can just tell Alexa to do it.
Right.
And when we have it set up so that when we receive a package or whatever, like the little ring turns yellow.
Mm.
But I can never remember what it's called. So I'll be like, hey, give me my announcements. It's like, oh, would you like to make an announcement? No, I don't want to make an announcement. give me my messages. Oh, well, if you hook up a phone, blah, 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 we can read your message. Every time I have to ask it, what does the yellow light mean? And then she's like, oh, those are your notifications. But it's only that fucking word. Yeah, that shit pisses me off. And now I know that word because I've had to ask it like 500 times. You know?
That sounds right. That's going to be my experience if I even decide to keep speaking to it.
Yeah. And the thing that I really like about it, and it pisses me off because we have like 10 of them in this house between all the kids and everything else, like little Dots and shit. People keep getting them for presents for Christmas and shit. Mm. If you have them all hooked up to the same account, you can actually tell one to announce, and it will play that announcement over all the others. So instead of yelling through the house, I can just be like, hey, announce that dinner's ready, and it'll be like, okay, and it just announces to all the others. Well, everybody got pissed off and unplugged there, so no, it doesn't announce to any of them.
Wow.
They'd rather get it on their phone.
See, with the show, you can say drop in on whatever room, and it'll like
it plays a chime in that room, and then it says it's like dum choo.
Yep.
And you're like, what the hell is
cool
that?
One thing about the show 5 is it's got an actual physical shutter over the camera. So that, you know.
So you don't have to tape it yourself.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But then why does it have I guess you can make video calls on it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You make video calls. It acts as like a room monitor. Like you can set it to do all kinds of things. It's even got security functionality where you can tell it like, you know, if there's movement in this room, like let me know, that kind of stuff.
Well, I tell you what I've been doing lately, dude. My little geeky thing of the week this week. You know what a tap game is?
A tap game.
Yeah.
Oh, like Farmville or whatever.
Yeah, you know, those games. Congregate makes a bunch of them. And the one that I was, Adventure, something like that was the first one I ever played. And you basically, you buy some stuff and then you use that money to buy more stuff and you use that money to buy more stuff. And it just kind of, you know, and eventually, and there's no point to the fucking game. It's completely pointless.
No, I mean you're building. You're continuing to build. You're seeing how.
Yeah, sure. Looks. And then once in a while, you can like hit this magic reset button that takes away everything, but leaves you with a certain bonus, and then that bonus carries forward, but nothing else does. And you start over. And well,
that sounds awful.
It really is. It's fucking stupid. Oh my god, it's stupid. So I've been playing Realm Grinder, which is one of these tap games.
All right, so you hate your life.
Yeah, it's on PC, and I'm going to bring it up to the screen now so you can see it. It's minimally graphic. It's really stupid is what it is. It's completely stupid. And I don't know why I keep playing it, but I do. And it's fun, and I hate these games. I don't know why I play them, but I constantly play them. Mostly because I don't have to pay attention to it for like hours. I can just come back to it, tap it a couple times, and oh, look, something cool is going on.
I mean, I can see, like, if it's a, you know, in your idle, whatever, you're waiting for something, or you're like on hold with a company or something like that.
Right.
You know, it's like a fidget spinner, right? I can totally see that. But if you're one of those people that like you're watching the clock, like, okay, my farm is going to be done building it at 3:37. I got to be sure that I need to wrap this meeting up or wrap this conversation up so I can run to my, that would be a problem.
The only time I've ever been that hung up about one of these games was, Airplane Tycoon, something like that. And you and I were competing and it had 4-hour turns. So it was a turn-based game, but every 4 hours was another turn where you could take your actions.
Oh, right.
I came in like fifth place on that only because I played it the entire time and I didn't give up. And it was like out of 200 people or something like that. You gave up like a weekend. You're like, fuck this. I was like waking up every 3 hours and 45 minutes. Of course, I had a baby at the time too. It's when Autumn was born. So it like gave me reason to get up to feed her or change her or whatever. And do my little turn and fall back asleep. And that was the first one. And I swore I'd never play a game like that again. Well, and this one's not even competitive. Like, you're not playing against anybody. You're just literally tapping for no damn reason.
Right. The only time I was like that, where I was like, you know, looking at the clock or getting out of bed at like 3 a.m. to do a thing. I played this stupid ass game. It was a Facebook game. Like a million years ago, it was like when I first got my Facebook account, I think. And there was this game where you like built a realm basically, and you had to like defend your village. Like you start with a village, I guess, and then you have to defend it against attackers. But the thing was, like, it's massively multiplayer.
Yeah,
and you join a clan or whatever, and then when like you would see like an attack coming in, it's like 2.5 days away because they're coming from the other side of the realm. Right, so you had to like call your banners, right? Get your allies to come defend, and you would call like, you know, some of your, you know, your satellite villages, whatever. You'd call all of their cavalry and everything back home, and then you knew when this attack was going to land, so like you had to be ready for it, so you could respond appropriately. It was, oh my god, it was fun, but holy hell. No, never.
It's a bunch of bullshit stress I don't need. That's
yes, exactly.
Yeah. W. Scottis one says it sounds like Farmville all over again.
Yeah,
you're not wrong. I mean, you're not right, but you're not wrong. It's. I think the first lesson in this whole thing is it's completely fucking pointless. But it's free, so I'll click away and see what the little levels are, and it's fun. I don't know. It's. I hate them, and I can't get away from them.
You know what? I'm really hoping to level up in a couple of weeks, man. Mm-hmm. I really hope that we go from third place to second place in a thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to happen. I think it might.
You think it might?
It might clutch second place, dude. Like I'm getting confident.
Yeah, well, let's see what Big Boy she has to say.
Welcome to your Movie Draft Minute, presented by DiamondClub.tv for the week of June 24th, 2019. I'm your host, Big Voice Jay. Pro tip, if you jumped off the bridge in Paris, you'd be insane. Let's go to the scoreboard. Team Drunk Kids Gaming gets a sizable boost from Child's Play and Toy Story 4 and last place with $194.9 million. Team Game Night's in 5th place with $205.5 million. Team The VOD Squad's in 4th place with $251.4 million. Team Retro Misery's in 3rd place with $540.2 million. Team Have a Drink is in 2nd place with $773.3 million. And in 1st place with $1,222 million, it's Team Movie Party. That's your Stream Team Movie Draft Minute. All totals are accurate as of June 26, 2019.
The reason I'm confident is Jay recorded that just a couple of days ago, and we've made $3 million since then. Excuse me, because we still have three movies in the theater.
Yeah.
They're still getting watched, so we're going to trickle in some cash from those. But next weekend, Spider-Man Far From Home is coming out. That's a $200 million movie.
Maybe.
I think it is.
We'll
and,
see.
Have a Drink's done with their, they've been done with their movies. They don't have anything in the theater. So they're locked at $773 million.
Yeah.
Like they're done. So all we have to do is make $230 more million dollars, which I think we could do, man. Spider-Man is going to clean up.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. Spider-Man has to clean up because that's the only thing we have left.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But we still got other things out there, like Secret Life of Pets. And why
is Godzilla? Spider-Man coming out on July 5th?
Why not?
It should be coming out on the 3rd.
Yeah, but movies don't come out on Wednesdays.
They do when they're big on 4th of July weekend.
I don't know. Either way, it's going to make a lot of money next weekend. So we're going to close in on Have a Drink. VOD Squad's not going to catch us. DKG's not going to catch us. Game Night sure as hell isn't going to catch us.
Yeah, DKG's still got some... a movie out, Lion King. That's gonna keep them out of last place.
Yeah. And I think DKG is gonna surpass VOD Squad. I think that's a pretty much a sure thing.
Yeah. If we didn't have Spider-Man, they would be a genuine threat to our third place position.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. VOD Squad has something called Yesterday that nobody knows about.
Some people have seen that, and it's not so much.
Yeah,
our hair is really, really bad, actually.
Hobbs and Shaw is gonna be good. That's gonna be a fun movie. I'm betting on that.
Yeah.
But whether it makes a lot of money in the box office, probably not, dude. I mean, it's like an action comedy. Those things make like maybe $50 million, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, and I think the big one is one I'm really interested in is It Chapter Two. First of all, I want to see it.
Right.
Second of all, I want to see if Movie Party, who's been stagnant lately, just because of lack of movies, if they can hit that 1.5.
Yeah, that's going to be
if It Chapter Two can bring in 200 million, they'll be right on the cusp of 1.5 billion in earnings. That's insane. And the fact that we're getting about a third of that, it didn't matter to me. Like I'm really hoping they'll hit that 1.5.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Set that record high. Yeah. I mean, they've blown away all records.
They've blown away all competition. That's for damn sure.
Oh yeah. Like it's yeah. So that's it. I'm calling it right now. We're going to get second place.
Okay. You know what, is not second place?
Our patrons.
They are first in our hearts.
Yeah, man. Over at patreon.com/ritualmisery, there's a bunch of people that give us a buck. I think that's an indicator that they give a fuck about this show.
We typically take it that way. Yeah, that's usually how it is. Here is a interesting thing. I know we're talking about our Patreon, but breaking news: Apple's chief design officer Johnny Ive is leaving Apple.
I heard this earlier today. He's starting his own company, and he's going to have Apple as the client. So, what are they doing?
Apple stock dropped 1% on the news in after hours trading. So here's my thing. You ready for this? This is my opinion of this.
Yeah, I'm on pins and needles, waiting to see why you interrupted the Patreon plug with Johnny Ive news.
I don't think Apple's been listening to Johnny Ive for quite a while.
Okay.
But we listen to our patrons.
Hmm.
And if you'd like to have a direct line to us, other than pretty much anywhere we are on the internet,
prioritized queue.
Patreon.com/richwomisery.
Hell yes, man. You get pre-shows, post-shows, exclusive interviews, stuff from the vault from like a million years ago before there was an internet.
Hmm.
All kinds of really neat stuff and some neat stuff to be announced soonish. That's going to come at you at the end of the year. And that's exclusively for patrons.
Oh yeah.
And it's going to be kind of a,
do I know about this?
You do. You are the progenitor of the idea.
Oh,
yeah. So
I told you it's been a long week.
If you're not a patron yet, now's the time to get in there. Check it out. patreon.com/ritual misery. Hey, man, there's another button you need to push.
Can I please have your attention?
In the last 30 minutes, Kent's done something. Now you've got a guess.
He was very excited.
Kent's game.
Play with him.
Zach Morris called and wants his phone back.
Zach Morris is trash.
Zach Morris is trash. That's right. If you guys have not seen that YouTube channel, like, you got to do it right now. Well, not right now. After you finish listening to this show.
And watch the debates. And then check out Zach Morris is trash.
Yes. Yes. Because Zach Morris is trash. Oh, my God. What a great channel that is. Anyway, so.
Especially if you like Saved by the Bell. If that was one of your shows that you really liked when you were growing up, Zach Morris is trash is. It's awesome. It's really awesome.
So Zach Morris called wanting his phone back. Obviously, this is the Zach Morris phone, the giant brick phone from the early 90s that was like, yep, like the size of a
brick
boot. like a giant CMU building brick for like corporate construction.
Yeah. And it was made of like the hardest plastic ever. Like you could launch this shit into space and it would come back in the same shape.
Yeah, this thing was gigantic. Anyway, so that was early 90s technology.
Yeah,
that Zach Morris phone. So what we're going to talk about is 90s tech, and your job is to tell me when I tell you a name of a technology or a device or something that excuse me, you're going to tell me, was this technology released to the public before or after we joined the Air Force?
Oh, so August 95 would be the cutoff.
Exactly.
There. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
So your answers are before or after?
Now, this, I will preface this by saying I did spend time in California as I was growing up, but I did graduate high school in June. Well, I graduated in June, July of 95. You graduated in May.
Right. You had a slight delay.
Yeah. I was slid to the right just a little bit. But there's a lot of context on when this stuff is.
Yeah.
Because of it's during that primal time right there between, you know, that 95 was a big year in my life because it was my 17th full year, I guess. But is that transition year? Because your first year is not a full year calendar wise. Anyway, 1985 is a huge year, so I should have a large amount of context for it. I'm guessing that about half these items came out in 95 or were released in 95, just to make it more difficult. But there's a certain handicap because I was in Indiana and we didn't have fucking MTV.
Well,
Well, Oxford, Indiana didn't have MTV. Every town around us had it.
Yes.
But we weren't cool enough, apparently, in Oxtucky.
Yeah. Man, I got that damn song in my head now.
Dire Straits for you.
Yes. All right, man. Here's your first one. Tell me, did this come out before or after we joined the Air Force? Texting.
Like SMS?
Yes.
Just texting. Basic SMS.
Yes. Not iMessage, not like photos or anything, just texting.
On pagers before, on cell phones after.
Okay, so texting as a technology, before or after?
I'd have to say before, because you could always, you could send text messages.
Yes.
To pagers.
Yes.
The T9 on the phone to get the little.
It was available to the public beginning 25th of December 1993.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So here's one for you.
Okay.
TiVo. Yeah.
TiVo is after.
DVR innovator.
TiVo is after, because I think they became the company in 96.
Okay. Well, the device was available to the public beginning 30 November 1999.
Okay.
So barely made it in the 90s.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that this was even 90s tech. I was like, what the fuck? Like, that seems like mid to late 2000s.
Yeah.
But, yeah. All right. The internet. Available to the public.
The internet itself. The internet available to the public.
And I'm not talking about the capability to use a modem to call another computer. I mean
the World Wide Web.
So yes, the World Wide Web. The internet with a capital I.
Before.
It was that year, though. 28 January 1995.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although the paper was released in 94, I think. But anyway.
You know, the original website, like the original hypertext document, is still online. It is the original URL.
Yeah. It's a sad thing.
No, it's pretty great. Like it's so interesting to read it.
It's rough.
Yeah. Dude, it's HTML 1.0.
There's no formatting. It's like here's text. No. Blah.
There's text and there's hyperlinks.
Yes. Well,
and I think that's it. I think there might be text size. Maybe not though. I can't remember if there was text size or maybe even bolding.
There's nothing beyond the basic ASCII though. There's no special characters, like, you know, there's no GIFs and shit. There's no graphics. It's just, here you go.
Yep. Just all right. Text.
All right. Next, please.
What about Java?
Mm.
As in the programming language, Java.
I'm going to say after. Is that a 94 thing, too?
It was 95. It came out. It was available to the public immediately after the internet. The internet was available to the public in January of 95, February, 26th February, to be exact, of 1995. Java.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking it was maybe a year after, but yeah, okay.
Yeah, I remember Sun Microsystems before they even made Java. They were making hardware.
Can we just say that Java is usable as it is still trash.
Java?
Yeah.
I never tried to program in it, but trying to use like a, like, I don't know, one of, like one of their VMs or, right, or something like, yeah, like fuck Java.
Yeah.
I don't like Java at all. All right, man. Something a little more fun than Java, Nintendo 64.
Oh, the Nintendo 64 came out after we joined the military because I bought one on day one at Shaw. That was in November 96. Right?
November 96. June 10th of June 1996.
Okay.
So I don't know if that was Japan's release date or America's release date.
I know. I took leave that day.
Jesus.
And I bought it at the BX, and I was the only person in line to get one. They only had three. I bought that Super Mario 64 because it didn't come with the console, and Zelda. No, wow. No. I went downtown to the mall and pre-ordered Zelda because it didn't come out day one. It came out like a month later or something like that.
Wow. Okay. All right, your next one, genetic engineering.
Oh,
so think like crops, like modifying crops.
Okay, that'd be before.
You say before.
Yep.
How far before do you think that is?
Depends on what level of genetic you want to consider, but like, I mean, they've been performing experiments with just basic botany and things like that for 100 years or 200 years or so. Well, but Asgrove,
we're not just talking about like breeding two different things together to see, you know, breeding a poodle with a German Shepherd to see what the puppies look like.
Right.
I'm talking about like actually getting in there and modifying genes and things.
Oh, like Monsanto kind of shit.
Yes.
Probably 93, 94. It was right about that time.
Yeah, 18th of January 1994 was when that was made available for public use. All right, man. What about DVDs?
Ooh. Available for public use.
Yes.
I believe that was a 97 thing, but it didn't hit widespread until 2001.
So your answer is after then, right?
Yes.
You say after. All right. Okay. Yes. It was after, but it wasn't that late. It was 29th of September, 1995.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Clearly after we came in the military.
Yeah. Yeah, damn.
I remember the first time I heard about DVDs, I was in the IGA in Oxford looking at a magazine and talking to Patrick Midiff. And I'm like, yeah, look at this thing. They're going to make CDs, but like for movies.
Oh, my God. What was the first DVD you bought?
Oh, my God. First DVD I bought, I think it was Armageddon. because I bought a DVD player and a surround sound system on the same day at the BX in Kadena, I think.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And I wanted something that, first of all, a movie that I know that I like, and also something that's got great sound that's going to test out the surround sound. So, of course, a Michael Bay movie is going to be full of explosions and all kinds of loud shit. So, yeah, it was a good purchase.
My first one was before I went to Kadena, which might have been about the same time that you bought yours, because I got there almost a year after you did. It was... shit. Now it's one of two movies, and I bought both of them like within a couple days of each other. Saving Private Ryan and Metallica S&M.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't remember. I think Saving Private Ryan was the first one, and then I bought S&M not long after. I didn't even own a DVD player. I had a DVD drive, a two-speed DVD drive in my computer. So the only place I could watch it was on my computer until a year later when I got my first surround sound and my first DVD player.
Jesus. So that was a 2X read.
Yes.
Definitely did not write.
Did not. No. There's not a... I don't even think it wrote CDs. I think it was just a DVD reader.
Right. Yeah. It didn't read CDs either, but no, it probably read CDs.
It read CDs, but like at like 10 speed. Like it wasn't even...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awful.
What trash, man.
Yeah, and it pissed me off because the DVD, like the software, Power DVD or whatever it was, wouldn't even let you access, like the menus were funny, so you couldn't even access the additional features.
So you could if you went through Windows Explorer.
Encryption was funny back then. So, but yeah, it was awful. Like I would have. Oh my god, I would have died for VLC back then.
Oh,
just pop right? in there, and let it play. But yeah, that's.
I should have that technology on this. When did VLC
come out? It's right about the time we got tired of whipping the llama's ass. That's when VLC came out.
Yeah. Winamp really whips the llama's ass.
Yep. All right.
Is it like a whip sound, too, or something? I don't remember. It's been so long. So good. All right. So I want to inform you. That was 7 questions. Yeah. You've got 6 out of 10, right? You've already got the D.
Boom.
You've gotten the D already.
Yeah.
So we're gonna see if you can get past the D. See if you can get over the D.
Once you get the D, there's no getting over D.
All right. Tamagotchi.
Ooh, shit.
Did you ever have one? Did you ever?
Well, I didn't have the standalone. I had the Sony PlayStation memory card Tamagotchi.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
It was a thing.
It was. But, wow. But I don't know what happened to that. And I got it from a dude at Kadena for like, I don't know. It was like $20 or something like that. I needed a memory card. I didn't even care about the little game display thing on it and the little buttons and stuff. I just needed the memory card, and they were out of the BX, and you know how they'd be out for like 3 years at the BX. So I got it for like $20 and ended up playing that more. And you know what? It had like 3 games on it. It had like Chocobo and Tamagotchi and something else. And I only ever played the Chocobo one.
Okay.
Anyway, okay, so before, after, I'm going to say after. Why not? Already got the D. I don't care.
You've gotten over the D. Yes. Yes, it came out the 1st of April of 1996.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. This is a weird one. Smart pills. So let me explain. When I say smart pills, I'm talking about the like capsules that they're basically like time release. Like it the pill knows how much dosage to give you how often. So smart pills.
I'll take smart pills for 200, Alex.
Okay. Because now, like almost all medication that you get prescribed is a smart pill now. Like that's
right.
Basic.
And it's not that the pill knows; it's the pill is designed to dissolve in such a way that you get a metered dose. I'm gonna say before.
All right, you think smart pills were before we joined the Air Force? You'd be correct, sir. They made their public debut 10th of January, 1992.
Oh, so it was a while before.
Yeah. So they've been out for a little bit.
Glad I got that right.
Yeah. I mean, not that we know, like, how do we know this? Unless we're watching TV commercials now with time release technology, ask your doctor if a lot will work for you.
The only thing that, that really got me on that was that in Indiana, as I was detasseling corn, I'd have to do allergy pills.
Oh.
No, you never did number two. sometimes you snuck away and did number one.
Oh,
go
sure.
Go ahead of me, guys.
Yeah. I'm just tying my shoe.
Yeah. Yeah, tying my shoe. Dude, we saw there's fucking buttweed over there. We know what you're doing over there.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, so your final technology, was this released to the public before or after you and I joined the Air Force in August 1995?
Mm-hmm.
Game Boy Color.
Ooh.
Game Boy Color. Not Super Game Boy, not Game Boy Micro, not Nintendo DS. We're talking about Game Boy Color. radical new technological device?
I'm going to say before.
You think Game Boy Color came out before we joined the Air Force?
I feel like I remember playing... Patrick Midiff had that Super Nintendo Game Boy adapter that you could put a Game Boy game in and it would play it. And I think I remember playing games on that that were actually in color natively and not just the bullshit colors that it assigned it, which would put it either before we left, before we left for the Air Force, or during like Christmas break coming back. But usually on like Christmas breaks when we would go back home, we didn't take time to play Nintendo games. We were too busy chasing chicks.
Yeah. So I I remember exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
First of all, let me do this. Game Boy Color came out in October of 1998.
Oh.
Okay, so what you're remembering is the Super Game Boy, which was the Super Nintendo cartridge that plugged in, and then you could put a Game Boy cartridge inside of it, and then you could play it on your console with your SNES controller in color, even though Game Boy games were black and white, or more like green and yellow or whatever.
Green scale. There were four tones of green scale.
Yeah. Now, what you're talking about, I remember this, the natively colored Game Boy cartridges, the first one of which I believe was Donkey Kong or Donkey Kong Country or something to that effect.
Yeah.
For the Game Boy, was programmed on the cartridge to have color, even though the Game Boy itself did not have the capability of destroying color.
Displaying color.
Yes, so you had to use it in a Super Game Boy, Super Game Boy,
to get the
on color. Your SNES to be able to see the colors.
Got you.
Yep, I remember that.
Crude just saying Kirby was too. Yeah, okay, that does sound about right. All right, so I got a B.
You got 80%. Good job. That's the best you've done in a very 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 long time. You've been getting the D for quite a while.
it's a thing. It's a thing.
Yes. Oh, man. This all got me thinking, dude, about technology. Like, stuff that we used to have. Stuff that we used to think was freaking awesome. And shit that we used to hate.
Mm.
I used to hate?
I'll start.
Oh, okay.
I'll start because I feel very, very strongly about this.
Okay, okay.
Zip drives. Zip 100s, Zip 250s.
Yep. Zip drives seemed really cool, man. They could hold so much more than a floppy.
They weren't. They were fucking unreliable. They held a lot of information. Yeah, I mean, you could put like... A Zip 250, which was one of the smaller sizes, would hold like 200 times more than a floppy disk.
Yes, so all of your floppies,
right?
You could just throw them out. You just copy them over to a Zip.
Well, you could if you'd still be doing it right now. Because it was so fucking slow.
Yeah, yeah.
It was ridiculous. Like you could have a movie, like a 200 megabyte movie on your computer, which was like huge back in the day because you only had 1 gigabyte hard drive. And you could put it onto a Zip drive and it'd still be going like 6 months later.
Yeah.
Like it was so fucking slow. It was like this amazing technology that it never had a chance of fulfilling this prophecy. You know, you didn't have that opportunity until USB came out, which was amazing, by the way. Still, I think, the biggest jump forward in computer technology for consumers. But by the time you had that, you had huge fucking drives, comparatively. You know,
right.
You
had so
80 gig hard drives and shit.
Yeah, it wasn't as useful. And also, we had the internet by then, so you could just, like...
Find
email
it.
Something or right. Yeah, or just yeah, exactly. It's on, sitting on a server somewhere. You can just download it again, whatever it was. What was the connector for that? Was it PS2? Did it go through a PS2 port?
Well, it depends on which one you got because they had FireWire.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they had FireWire, they had Parallel, they had SCSI. I think most of them were SCSI.
Oh, Oh, scuzzy.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that I don't miss.
And I think there was even one or two that had serial, which I don't know why you would have a serial port to anything that had to transfer more than 1K. But, like, and that was another thing. When you went to buy a zip drive, say you wanted the blue one, the classic blue one with the little oblong slot in it, you know? And
yep.
Yeah, that one was only parallel. If you wanted the one that was scuzzy, you had to go with the red one.
So parallel, that's usually put your printer in the parallel
yes.
port.
Yes.
Now, FireWire, it seems to me like that's the way to go.
It would have been if you had a Mac. But to get FireWire on a PC at the time, you had to buy a separate FireWire card, and then that's all right. The drivers would be all fuckered up because your motherboard wouldn't support the FireWire. And
yep. It was a nightmare.
Fuck zip drives.
Yep.
Zip drives are canceled.
Dude, something that I don't fucking miss at all is dot matrix printers. You need to crank the volume on that by like 10. And if you were sitting in an office where there were two dot matrix printers going for some reason, no, you need hearing protection. I think there's like OSHA standard. You had to have hearing protection. Oh, that shit's awful.
And if you were doing it in carbon copy, oh my god, it dampened the sound a little bit, but you were guaranteed a jam every 10 pages.
Oh yeah, 10.
Yeah,
you made it to 10.
Well, that's the guarantee. Like, it's not possible to print more than 10 pages in carbon copy without a jam on a dot matrix printer. It's physically and fucking possible. Dot matrix, dude. I agree that it was necessary at the time.
Yeah. It was pretty fast for what it was doing.
Well,
putting one dot every pixel.
Well, because it had that plate of what, like 9 or whatever, a plate of 12 or some shit, and it just go down and hit it where it needed to hit it.
Yeah,
As it scrolled through, you know, and the alternative to that. Well, and here's the thing about dot matrix. All right, it sounded the same when it jammed as when it was operating.
Yeah, awful.
You couldn't tell. And the alternate to that was that fucking spinny ball thing that, you know, that had like all the characters like pressed into it, and it'd go down.
Yes.
And, oh my god.
What was that thing even called?
I don't. It was like the fastest, worst typewriter in the fucking world. And to replace the tapes on that, because it had tapes, like typewriter tape, you know? You had to replace the tapes, and the tapes were stupid.
Yep.
And it flaked off everywhere, and you could just erase the fucking page. Like, you could just that's not a B anymore. That's an incomplete, because there's no grade. Ha, ha, ha. And fuck off with that shit, man. But then you take that to the next level. What was the next thing to come out? Inkjet, right? Inkjet. Everybody had a fucking inkjet.
Yeah, and we still do.
And it would print out, and you'd fucking lift it up, and the ink would like run down the page. Well, not literally, but as soon as you touched it, it would fucking run down the page, because they hadn't figured out micro printing, and they hadn't figured out micro dosing the fucking ink, and they hadn't figured out quick dry paint or ink or pigment or whatever the fuck it is. That shit pissed me the fuck off. And if you tried to print two pages, you just made copies, reverse copies on the back of each of those fucking pages. Because as soon as the paper came out and sat down, or you had one of the really good ones that would hold the page and wait for the fucking one before it to dry, before it dropped that one, that shit took fucking forever. And there's no way of getting around it. You couldn't just tell it, hey, go ahead and print that fucking page. No, it would just sit there and wait for you, even though you're moving them yourself. Fuck printers. Printers, yeah, all right?
Exactly. But you know what you almost described? You almost described Ditto. Do you remember Ditto?
No.
Like when we were in elementary school, you remember the worksheets that you would get that were purple? It was made from a Ditto machine, which is basically like it worked almost like Silly Putty.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like photocopy. It was like, it would like take the impression of the thing and somehow did this like reverse. I don't know. I haven't seen one of these things in like 30 something years.
Yeah.
So I have no idea.
And then the next thing after dot matrix, or not dot matrix, inkjet, was laser printers. And now we're talking, okay? Now you got the lovely crispness of Xerox with not all of the fucking fuzz of Xerox. And it was fast as shit. It would just print pages out. Like, you'd get like 7, 8, 10 pages a minute. It took 3 to 4 minutes for the fucking thing to warm up. Had like a JFS popping off the side.
JFS.
A jet fuel starter for you non-Air Force types. Hey, Cruz wants to know if we ever saw the wax ink printers. You have to melt the solid ink first before it'll actually print.
Yes.
I don't think I ever
had. I saw exactly one and it printed like shit.
Yeah, I've heard of this, but I don't think I've ever actually seen one.
Yeah, take the worst parts of a laser printer and an inkjet printer and then throw some fucking dot matrix at it and throw it on a SCSI port.
Oh, God.
And just fuck yourself. That's what...
SCSI. Ugh. SCSI, like, it's got the perfect name.
Yeah.
SCSI. Like, that's... Yeah.
And, you know, the funny thing is, SCSI was perfect for so many things. If you could get it working. And
yeah, there's still things that in the Air Force, there are still peripherals that are required to be connected using a SCSI port.
Yep. And that wax, dude, the wax came, you could get it in multiple colors towards the end. You could get it in multiple colors. And when it melted, it all looked kind of the same shade of shit brown. So you never knew which color you're supposed to put in which one, but without like opening fuck. All
right, so let's change to something that I've missed. Well, I don't know if I missed so much, but I have nostalgia for. And that's my old Palm 5. It's basically an iPhone before there were iPhones.
Oh my gosh, yes.
All internet and cell phone connectivity.
We both started with the Palm 3, right? Palm 3C, the first color one.
Oh, wait a minute. Was it 5 or 3? Maybe it was 3.
I think I started with the Palm 3, and then you got the 3C, and then I went out and got the 3C and sold my 3.
I don't think mine was color, though. I think I might have gotten like the... Maybe, was there a 3X, like a 3X something or another?
I don't remember. I remember I dropped mine off the fucking nose of a C5 one time, and it landed in its neoprene case and was just fine.
Yeah, dude, it came with that little flip cover.
Yeah, and I had it. Yeah. And you flipped the cover up, and it actually had like instructions on how to use it.
Yes. It gave you the little cheat sheet for the what do they call them?
The wiggles or that? Yeah.
So I just looked up what mine was. It's the Palm 3XE. That's what I had. I never had a color one. But it was, dude, it was amazing. It was a PDA, a personal digital assistant, made by Palm, obviously. Everyone wants to talk about Palm Pilot. I've never met somebody in my life that's actually had a Palm Pilot. Everybody's had like a Palm 3 or a Palm 5 or a Palm C or whatever. Mm. Like 7 people had a Palm Pilot. Stop calling them fucking Palm Pilots, people. There was only one model called Pilot, and it was, anyway...
Anywho, techno rants today.
But I loved it, dude. The games that you could play on that thing.
The games you could make on that thing.
Kyle's Quest.
Yep.
The best freaking game. Like, dude, it's in my top 10 of best games of all time.
Even though we never finished it.
It doesn't matter. Much about the built-in adventure. It's about making your own adventure.
That's what I'm saying. We never finished the built-in. Like we had all these huge plans for games for each other, and we just never. I still have all my notes. I still have all the grid maps and everything else all done. My favorite feature about that thing, though, honestly, was the fucking IR blaster.
The IR blaster.
The infrared blaster.
You
could sit in a doctor's waiting room. When they got the TV on CNN or whatever, and tell it to scan, and once it activated, you would know what the frequency was, and then just fucking sit there and tell it to change channels and shit.
I forgot all about that.
Yep. Or sitting across from somebody while they're they're playing a game or doing whatever they're doing on theirs, and you just fucking blast them with like an invite to a porn site.
Wait. Yours had internet capability?
No. But you could. Okay. It had. It did though.
Mine did not.
It didn't have like a traditional browser, but you could. Send links, because I would send links to fucking people, random links to like shitty sites and stuff. Maybe it was just a text.
Yeah, because I remember mine had the capability. You could send a message to another Palm device, like a Palm OS device that was in proximity. Like you had to have, I think you used IR, yeah, right?
It was IR.
Yeah. You could like point them at each other. You could send like a file or a message or something like that, or like a picture. Like you could draw a picture on the little touchpad deal. You could send that. But yeah, I had no connectivity to, in order to like install apps or do anything outside of the device itself, you had to dock it to the cradle. But it was connected via I don't even remember what kind of port that was. It wasn't SCSI.
No,
I know that.
It was either serial or parallel. It might've been serial.
Serial. Yeah. I think it was
pre-USB.
Yes. Very much pre-USB.
Cause you were only dealing with like, what, 64K of memory, but it would take fucking like 30 minutes to sync.
Yeah, but the apps were super small. Oh, and this before they were called apps. It was like, what did we call them?
Fuck, I don't know.
Applications. Maybe we just called them like the full word, applications.
Nobody was smart enough to just shorten that shit down to apps.
Look, I found some new applications for my Palm. That said a 10-year-old me.
Yeah, and you know what really pissed me off about that? As soon as I started getting good at that damn Palm, right, a buddy of mine at work got a compact Presario, a full-fledged pocket PC.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
See, at the same time that you were messing with the Palm.
Yeah, I was at Kadena. Yeah, and that's when I switched over to my Dell Axum 3, and then my Axum. X or whatever, yeah, XM something, XM 5, and that was a full-fledged pocket PC, and then I switched to a pocket PC phone, and then my ex-wife broke it, and then I went to no mobile devices, and eventually to Droid, and then to iPhone.
You know, Bill Gates was actually in the news yesterday, I think, for saying that his biggest mistake was not making Windows the iOS competitor in the phone market.
It was.
Well, for like 2 seconds. But
right, but they weren't doing anything with
Android,
it.
Android like, became the competitor.
Pocket PC was fucking amazing for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still trying to hold on to this aesthetic and functionality of a goddamn desktop computer.
Right.
And Apple comes along with iOS with phone OS or whatever it was, and says, no, we're just going to make it custom to where it's not supposed to look like a fucking desktop. It's not a desktop. And Windows was like, no, it's still a desktop, just smaller.
Yeah.
Fucking, yeah. Because you could, you had File Explorer and everything else on there, man. It was fucking amazing. It was great. It was a low powered PC in your fucking pocket. It was great. But it wasn't. And they didn't develop it for shit. I would go to Pocket PC Thoughts and find my fucking patches to fix the Windows installation on my phone.
Right?
Oh,
yeah. So that's Gates said that's his biggest error or biggest mistake was not developing that into basically what Android has become.
He's not wrong.
Yeah. But who cares? He's still one of the richest people on the planet.
Right. So I'm going to go ahead and go with the thing that I miss and that I'm nostalgic about. And I would say I genuinely miss it because it was not only was it a symbol of its time, but it kind of really fed so much of my curiosity about computers and about technology and everything else. And
Born.
No.
No. You said that you miss it. No.
It's more available now than ever. Like I'm trying to miss it. Like I'm dodging it on the internet and shit. Like don't know. Right. No.
Yeah.
Fucking I'm going to go ahead and say my Dell Axum 5.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. Not only because it was like the Palm with a better experience, it was my first foray into mobile 3D gaming. It synced up to Outlook back when we could connect shit by USB to our... and it was one of my first USB devices as well.
USB 1.0.
Yeah.
No, stats for 1.0.
But it would, yeah, it would sync up to my work computer so I could download my Outlook back before work email got too fucking crazy. And I'd actually be able to go take a shit at work and work on my work email and then come back to my office, let it sync up while I went out for a smoke break or whatever, come back and like all my emails were answered because I just did it while I was on the shitter. Now you can't do that because now there's like 7,000 fucking emails about dumb shit every day. But
right. Yeah, and also you can't connect any device to a government PC and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Fucking joke. But yeah.
Thanks, Huawei.
Yeah. But yeah, that's yeah, that was that.
Yeah. That was fun, man. That was fun. I want to do that every now and then, just kind of look back at technology that was.
Yeah.
But you know what we should do? We should do a show about when we started RMP, like what, like state of the world, like politics, technology, movies that were coming out. Like it seems like that was just a couple years ago. Like it's nothing's different, dude.
No,
it was different.
We went from a time when I didn't feel bad about talking about politics to where it is now, where I am trying to avoid it in every conversation for the next two months because I'm afraid of it affecting the queer I just finished. Like,
right. Yeah.
And if you're young, I'm looking right at the camera right now, I'm speaking right into the mic. So if you're watching or listening, listen and watch and absorb. Politics is the only thing that you get more curious about as you get older, while you get less powerful in it. The peak of your interest will be when you're older, as you understand more and as you understand how it affects things. The peak of your power is on your 18th birthday because you have an entire lifetime of change that you can incorporate. Whereas once you're old enough to understand it, you don't have any fucking time left to effectively change things.
Not only that, the young people are the target demographic for, they're like the target for
everything.
For everything, right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like if the young people are hip to it, then that's going to change like a politician's platform, right? So yeah, that's profound, dude. That's 100%. Yeah, Willie says, I feel like Amos is only talking to me. he's perpetually the young guy in the room. Yeah, dude. So that sounds like some profound wisdom that you might dispense elsewhere on the internet. Where would people find that?
On Twitter at Ethan Kane, ethancaine.
Yeah. If you're interested in my ramblings, which I had actually quite a few this week, hit me up on Twitter, rm_delnoche_, because I was a little late to the game. Del Noche or Del Noche 77, pretty much everywhere else. Find me.
I like how you say a little late to the game. You're like fucking 5 years late to the game.
Yeah. I was real late to the Twitter game. Yeah, man. Where would people find the show?
On Twitter at Ritual Misery. And if you hit us up there, we will probably respond. We might even tell you which one of us it is that's responding. No guarantee you will.
I guarantee you that we will respond to you in our Discord, though. If you go over to Discord, bit.ly/RMP Discord, check us out there. Join our conversation. We will definitely respond to whatever you say to us in there.
And you can cruise on over to our website, ritualmisery.com, where we find all kinds of other ways to fuck up really simple shit. And we happen to link there to all the other projects we're working on. I just finished the last episode of Let's Talk About Thrones. It was released this week. Go check it out. It's got a bunch of extra material at the end if you listen all the way through. And so cruise on over to there, ritualmisery.com.
Yeah, we are live almost every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Central.
That'd be Mountain.
Mountain. Mountain. The only time zone that matters, according to Scott Johnson. That would be 8 p.m. Mountain time. So, let's try.
Take two. We are live every Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific on DiamondClub.tv and Twitch.tv/RitualMisery. Thank you so much to Kevin MacLeod for allowing us to use your music because you're awesome and you've got a documentary coming out because you're just that fucking cool. Besides, you're also in Japan right now. And thank you for listening for Kent, for me, and for you. This has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
See ya!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
RATUALMISERY.
Yay!
Holy shit. Is there a way that we could, you could fuck up that outro anymore?
Yes, I could try harder next time.
Challenge accepted.
Oh, man.